Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Behind the scenes, the Trump administration has been doing more to help businesses make money than just cut taxes. It has been changing regulations, and among the changes, the definition of the word employee. If you're an employee, you generally will make more money than if you're a contractor. So let's go to former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation sponsored by Aristapoint Employee Benefit Consultants. So explain this definition for us, Rob.
Well, we have differing opinions about where to draw the line. And it's a big issue for companies that use contractors, because if someone who was a contractor becomes an employee, the cost of using that person will typically go up around 30% due to the cost of benefits. An employee is also entitled to minimum wage and overtime. So in the gig economy, as it's called, where you draw that line becomes a really contentious issue. And we have the Trump administration coming down on one side, basically on the side of companies like Lyft and Uber, and the state of California Supreme Court coming down on the other side, where they ruled against a company that employs contractor truck drivers that they're actually employees. And they apply a different test in California than the federal government appears ready to apply.
So for people who are trying to figure out which one am I, a contractor or an employee, what defines the various characteristics of each classification?
Well, in California, they apply, as a result of this Supreme Court decision called Dynamex, they apply the ABC test. It goes to the issues of control, scope, and independence. So does the company control what the worker does? Number two, are the worker's tasks central to that company's core business? Number three, does the worker run an independent business doing that work? So, you know, in my view, and I should disclose that my firm represents Lyft, and this has been an issue that some of my colleagues have actually worked on. You know, for a company like Lyft or Uber, the argument would be these folks are not employees because many of them don't just drive for Lyft. They drive for Uber as well, or they'll work for multiple companies. They might drive for Lyft and Uber. They might also deliver meals for DoorDash or groceries for Instacart and so forth. So that would seem to suggest they are running an independent business. Number two, they get to decide whether or not to accept the opportunity to go pick someone up or not. You know, you don't, as you probably know from your own use of ride sharing services, the driver doesn't have to come get you if they happen to be close to you. They get to choose their hours. They get to choose when they start and stop. They can decline to go pick up people who ask for a ride if they don't want to take them where they want to go, et cetera.
Well, I thought that if you declined too many rides, you could get dropped from the platform though, right?
Well, that's probably true, but at the same time, the driver has that discretion. If you're a taxi cab driver, on the other hand, you go where the dispatcher sends you, period, end of story. What you can't do under the California test, and I'm guessing you couldn't do it under the Labor Department's test either, even under the Trump administration, is you can't, you know, tell your delivery drivers, okay, you know, you're going to wear our uniform, but, you know, we're going to sell you your truck. And then you're going to bring your truck and you're going to pick up stuff where we tell you to. You're going to take it where we tell you to. But you're a contractor. That doesn't work. This has led a number of gig companies like Lyft to discuss publicly the notion of portable benefits, finding a way to get benefits to gig economy workers who work for several companies, or at least, you know, at least a few, so that they can move from gig to gig and have benefits, including health benefits and perhaps retirement benefits. They haven't figured out how to do it exactly, but portable benefits would solve a lot of these issues for the workers that, you know, labor unions and others are bringing up, so long as they preserve the independence that a lot of these workers really value, you know, like the driver who drives for several months a year, but then he takes a couple months off to go visit his family.
So one more thing, for an employee who thinks their employer is playing fast and loose with the rules, how will they go about making a case for themselves that they are an employee as opposed to a contractor?
Well, they would come in and they would provide evidence that they really are controlled by the company. They're not truly independent. The tasks they perform are central to that company's core business. They really aren't allowed to run an independent business. So, for example, if Uber wouldn't let you drive for anybody else, whether for Lyft or Instacart or DoorDash, that would be a strong piece of evidence. But, you know, Uber doesn't do that. They let you drive for as many people as you want. So I think that the companies have an idea of where the lines are, and because It's so, well, because their whole business model is based on connecting gig workers with consumers of the services those workers provide, they're going to be real careful not to step over that line. The thing is that that line of those goalposts can be moved by a court or by a state legislature. And the worry in California is that if the Dynamex decision is codified, it's really going to kill the gig economy.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Our conversation brought to you by Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants. Rob, thanks.
You bet. Happy to be an independent contractor for you, Dave.
Is that true?
I'm confident that it is. Wait, I don't get paid anything. Okay.
That's right.